Chapter 34. Now Galilee, with its two divisions, known as both Upper and Lower Galilee, is indeed encompassed by both Phoenicia and Syria. Now its western borders, indeed toward the sunset, are the outlying country of Ptolemais, as well as Carmel, which is indeed a mountain once belonging to Galilee, but now to Tyre. Adjacent to Carmel is Geba, called the City of Cavalry, because the cavalry, upon being discharged by King Herodes, settled in this city. Now on the south, the country is bounded by both Samaria and Scythopolis, up to the waters of the Jordan. Now on the east, it is bounded by both Hippos and Gader, and Golan, and the border of Agrippa's kingdom. Now on the north, it is bounded by both Tyre and the country of the Tyrians. And indeed, Lower Galilee extends in length from Tiberias to Kabul, which is not far from its neighbor Ptolemais by the sea. Now in breadth, it extends from Kesuloth village in the Great Plain to Beersheba. And at this point begins Upper Galilee, which extends in breadth to Baca village, which is the border of Tyrian land. Now in length, it reaches from Talil village near the Jordan to Meroth. Now despite their size and being surrounded by such powerful foreign nations, the two Galilees have always been able to resist any attempt to make war on them. For from infancy, its inhabitants are made efficient for battle and have at all times been numerous. Never have the men been lacking of courage or the country of men. Everywhere, the land is so rich in both soil and pasturage, and produces such a variety of trees that even the most indolent are tempted by these advantages to devote themselves to agriculture. Accordingly, every inch of the soil has been cultivated by its inhabitants, and not one portion lies fallow. Instead, the cities are also thickly distributed, and even the multitude of villages, thanks to the fertility of the soil, are all so densely populated that the smallest of them contains over 15,000 inhabitants. But in a word, if Galilee is considered inferior to Perea on account of its size, it must be given the preference due to its abundant resources. For indeed, it is entirely under cultivation and produces crops from one end to the other. But Perea is indeed far more extensive, but for the most part is desert and rugged, and too wild to bring tender fruits to maturity. Yet truly, there are tracts of finer soil, and it produces every kind of fruit, and its plains are covered with a variety of trees. The olive tree, and the vine, and the palm are the ones which are primarily cultivated. It is watered both by torrents descending from the mountains and by springs which never dry up and which provide sufficient moisture when the torrents dwindle during the dog days. Therefore, Pariah indeed extends in length from Machairus to Pahel, but in breadth from Philadelphia to the Jordan. And indeed, its northern border is Pahel, but its western border is the Jordan. Now on the south, it is bounded by the Moabites, and on the east, by both Arab and Silbon, but also by Philadelphia and Gerasa. Now the country of Samaria indeed lies between Galilee and Judah. For beginning at the village of Ganim in the great plain, it terminates at the toparchy of Akrabat. Now its character is entirely the same as Judah's, for both regions are comprised of mountains and plains, yielding a light and fertile soil for agriculture. Both are abundant with trees and abound in both wild and cultivated fruits. Both owe their productiveness to the entire absence of dry deserts and to a rainfall which is, for the most part, abundant. Now all the running water is exceedingly sweet, and due to the multitude of excellent grass, the cattle yield more milk than those in other districts. Yet truly, the greatest testimony to the excellence and abundance of each of these countries is that they both have a multiplying of men. Now on the border separating the two countries lies the village called Aina Berkit, which is the northern limit of Judah. Now its southern boundary, if one measures the country lengthwise, is marked by a village on the Arabian border, which the local Judeans call Jordan. Yet truly, in breadth, it stretches from the Jordan River to Yafo. Now the city of Jerusalem lies at its very center, and for this reason, the town has sometimes, not inaptly, been called the navel of the country. But Judah is not cut off from the delights of the sea, because it slopes down toward the coast as far as Ptolemais. Now, it was divided into 11 portions, among which Jerusalem, as the capital, is indeed supreme, dominating the entire vicinity as the head towers above the body. Now, in the case of the other minor districts, the divisions coincide with the toparchies. Gufnim is the second, and next is Akrabat. After them, Timnah and Lod. Then, Hamat and Pahel and Edom. and En-Gedi, and Herodion, and Jericho. To these must be added Yabna and Yafo, which have jurisdiction over the surrounding localities. Besides these are the territories of both Gamala and Golan, also Bashan and Trakon, which also form a part of Agrippa's kingdom. Now this last country, beginning at Mount Lebanon and the springs of the Jordan, extends in breadth to Lake Tiberias, but in length from a village called Arphad to Eulias. Now it contains a mixed population of Judeans and Syrians. This indeed, as concise as possible, is my description of both the Judean country and of their neighbors.